Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Here we are with Defined by Moments. Once again, we're only going to look at one verse in Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to need to go somewhere else, but what a verse it is. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Now, if something like that doesn't grab your attention and make you go, "What in the world is this?" Well, this is one of those that you love the opportunity to be able to sit down and talk through. Now, we're going to use this verse as our launching pad, and we're going to get, you know, go towards the end of the book of Proverbs to kind of wrap up this discussion. But let me explain this from a cultural standpoint, because quite frankly, we will look through this with the eyes of the modern day, and we'll often miss, you know, the imagery that the culture would have understood. So this is an absolute absurd image. Now, yes, a pig with a gold snout, you know, it wallows around in the mud. So that's kind of one of those weird images. But think this through. So pure gold in this culture would have been a symbol not only of wealth, but it would have been a symbol of power, but of purity. It was 100% gold. It was the most valuable thing that you could find. But that purity, that value, was then placed into an animal that in the culture was considered unclean, impure. So what was pure, what was valuable by its association with this animal and the cultural beliefs of that animal would have just immediately undone the value, because the gold, by being related to the pig, would have been impure. And if you had touched that gold, to take that gold away from the pig, you would have then become impure. The valueless and the value loss of this pure gold come from the improper use by placing it on a pig. So the contrast there is that the same thing is the case of a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. There's a value less and a value loss because it's used inappropriately. Now, let me stop right here. This is not any kind of a blight to a female gender. The same case would be here if this was used with a man. You can have someone that looks amazing. They might be the most handsome guy. They might be the most beautiful woman. But if they don't have discretion, if they're not wise, if they just do stupid things all the time, that beauty really begins to fade quickly. So this whole session, this episode, is about the inside, not the outside. If you go back and you think of the scriptural example of Samuel when he was going to anoint the king that would follow after Saul, he started with the oldest of David's brothers, who was tall, who was handsome. This guy has to be the king. But what did the Lord tell him? God said, look not on the outward appearance, but look at the heart. That's where I'm looking. The same is true here. What's on the inside of an individual matters. Now, in using a more modern pop cultural context, I love 80s music. I grew up in the 80s, so I'm going to use an 80s reference here. If you have never heard of the group called Breathe, I would encourage you to go to YouTube, Google Breathe and the song, How Can I Fall? And you will see what a lot of people will consider to be a very handsome man in that video that acts like a fool. And he becomes very ugly very quickly because of the way that he acts. That's what this is driving to. It's the inside that matters. Now, this verse specifically references a woman. So in doing so, flip over to Proverbs chapter 31. That's where we're going to go here to really start to break this apart. And even though that I said this really applies both ways, what we're going to talk about on this is really the aspect of a godly woman. Now, the interesting part about this is, if you have a ESV study Bible, there's a footnote that looks at Proverbs 31 that really just explains the poetic beauty of the way that this passage has been structured. So, you have a verse that begins, that we'll read, that talks about excellence. You have a verse at the end that kind of summarizes with excellence. But in between, there's an acrostic. Each verse starts with a commensurate letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it is just a neat construct, the way that this was done. It would have been something that is very memorable in the culture for them. But let's step back and let's look at this and really start to see the value of an excellent and wise woman. Verse 12.
Verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Go to verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So again, this favor, this beauty that you see on the outside, it's deceptive. It's going to pass away. But who that lady is on the inside is what matters, and it endures for an eternity. In other words, the excellent woman, the value is beyond jewels, and she should be praised. I love this. I did not know this until I started doing this word study, but here in verse 30, where it talks about the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, that word literally means to shine. She is to be shown the brightness that she deserves. Natural imagery here is of a full moon. So think about how bright it is outside at night because of that full moon. Well, a woman who has feared the Lord, who is excellent in her relation to wisdom, should have that light shined upon her. Now, the way that this section breaks down, you can see from verses 11 and 12 that this godly woman is to be trusted because of her actions. Look at these two verses. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. He trusts in her because of what she has done. She trusts in him because of what he has done. It is that mutual relationship. And where does it come from? It comes from both of them being rightly related to the Lord. So we see that there is trust because of actions. But we also see here in verses 13 through 16 that this wisdom filled woman is mindful of her work. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax, and she works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides her food for her household and portions for her maidens. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it, and the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. We see wisdom in business dealings with this last verse, where she's considering the field. She's looking at it, figuring out the potential worth that it would have, plus the price that is being asked, and then she's going to negotiate accordingly. But she provides for everyone that is in her home. She works, but the key is at the end of verse 13, it's those willing hands. I remember when I worked in South Carolina, I was on an elevator in the building that I worked, and struck up a conversation with this person, and they asked me what my wife did. It's like, well, my wife is a certified teacher. Oh, so where is she teaching? I said, well, she has chosen to stay at home and to look after our kids until they get into school, and then she will return, to the workforce. I was pretty much given the what for by that individual. Like, how dare you oppress this woman? I was like, hold on. This was what she came to me and said she wanted to do. And then we worked our budget accordingly for that to take place. And let me tell you something. These 13 years that I have seen all that she's done, I am amazed at what she has done. How she has been able to keep the house even with my help, to keep up with the laundry, the cooking, the cleaning, just making sure the kids get their work. I have just been blown away at how industrious that she is. I have been blessed by a woman that is amazing. And again, like I said, I do what I can to help around the house, but I still step back and it's like, how do you do all this? But she does it willingly. She does it because she understands that she doesn't need to operate on the everyday. She's focusing on eternity, and she's pouring into our children's lives so that when they are adults, they will be training their children as she has trained them. So we see trusted because of actions. We see mindful in the work. Oh, and one other thing that I'll say to this. Back when when the school year started, you know, in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic and the kids were going to be home, I just happened to go through her menu, and I have learned very quickly that you don't mess with her system. But in doing so, she had planned every breakfast, not only for the rest of 2020, but the rest of the school year into April and May of 2021. It's that mindfulness of her work that has just kept me amazed. Verses 17 and 19, we see the strength of her effort. It says that she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. You know what? Looking after a baby at night, even if the husbands are helping out, that is hard. Those sleepless nights are long, and you wonder, are you ever going to survive it? So there's strength. But then we look at verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. That's preparation. She puts her hands to the distaff and puts her hands to hold the spindle. So this is not someone that sits back and goes, eh, we'll just let whatever happen. It is one of those things, if there is intentional action. And I'll share an example. We had a conversation today, in fact. You know, my oldest is not making some wise decisions with school. And I'm one of these hardcore guys, like, you know what? Time for him to learn the consequences of his actions. And she goes, but what is that really going to teach him? We know he's going to have a major issue later on. Why not fight the battle now rather than fight the battle later? And she's right. It's that aspect of that lamp not going out at night. It's looking to the future, but also living in the moment. When we get to these next several verses, beginning with verse 20, it's that the reputation is solid. Verse 20, the reputation is one of generosity. She opens her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. It's not just that we have things that she's looking after our family, but the eyes are also looking to the needs of others. You know, my wife has had this wonderful idea of, you see people standing on street corners asking for money. Rather than just making this, you know, glib assumption that, well, they're going to take the money and use it for inappropriate purposes, you know, we set aside money every month to create blessing bags that have little packets of food. You know, it could be some jerky, some, you know, pack of nabs or crackers, you know, maybe a fruit bar or, you know, something like that, and a little Capri Sun packets, a little juice for them with a gospel tract, and we give that to them. It's that aspect of generosity. So that's a reputation. The second part of the reputation is that she's prepared. We've already talked about that. But in verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household. For her household are clothed in scarlet. Bring on the cold weather. Why? Because we're ready for it. Now that word there, scarlet, you know, we think, oh, that's red. Well, yeah, in the Hebrew, it could also be translated as double thickness, meaning that that clothing is going to be warm for the snow. But again, you have the reputation of generosity. You have the reputation of being prepared. But thirdly, you see a reputation of what I'm going to call refinement. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I read verses 23 and 24 when I should have read verses 22 and 23, but so let me back up. Forgive me for that. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Again, the linen and the purple, that's more of a refinement aspect, and the husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I can say with 100% certainty, I would not be where I am today, personally and professionally, without the wife that God blessed me with. She helped me through my multiple advanced degrees that I have earned. She read every single word of my dissertation. She read every single word of my book. She has been one that, you know, at times has been behind me, showing me the way. There are times that she has been in front of me, towing me along the way. But my favorite is when she stands right beside me and we both go the way. But that is this aspect of refinement. She has made me better. And it is my hope and my prayer that I have also made her better. But thirdly, fourthly, we go from a reputation of generosity, preparation, refinement, to the reputation of industriousness. In verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She's industrious, so it's quality work that is put out. You know, I have seen my wife clean. I mean, I don't think I do a bad job of cleaning, but then I watch her clean and realize that I have not done it right. Men, let me say something to you. If you are not watching all that your wife does, you are missing a tremendous opportunity to praise her, to shine that light like we talked about earlier. Because if you, like me, have been blessed with a godly woman who is wise beyond her years, who is just amazing in all aspects, then you need to make sure that you are praising her. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the last thing, we've moved from trusted because of actions, mindful in the work, strength and effort, a solid reputation, to verses 26 through 29, where it all comes together. All of these actions come because her wisdom is known and shown. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. What was the prior episode about? It's the words. It's the righteous heart. It's the wise heart that God has given us because of His grace. It's shown by our words. It's shown by the way of life that we live. And we see that connection right here in Proverbs 31:26, speaking of a godly woman, an excellent woman, a wise woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She doesn't hold on to it, but then it says that she's teaching the kindness that's on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Because of those actions, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Men, do you praise the wife that God has given you? You chose her out of all the women on this planet. You chose her to stand in front of a bunch of other people and say those vows, till death do us part, in good times and bad. Are you choosing every single day to love your choice? Love means that you give the credit that is also due to them. You praise her. And if you're not doing that, it shows that you are not rightly related to wisdom, men. Now, I am being very forceful in my tone. You can hear that. But I'm stepping on my own toes, just like I'm probably stepping on yours, because I don't praise my wife. I don't appreciate my wife as much as I should. And preparation for this was really a smack in the head for me. Because look at verse 29. Many women have done excellence. Try that again, because I'm going to butcher this verse, and I've got to get this right. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Can you imagine sitting here and going through this chapter, talking about every single thing and how your wife meets all of these things, and you get to this verse? You know what, sweetheart? Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. How much would that mean to her to hear that from you? A lot. Now, ladies, if you're listening to this, I know that I am speaking to the husbands about how you really need to have this appreciation for your wife. But there's a challenge to you as well. If God has blessed you with a godly husband, do you praise him as he deserves? That's something that you will also need to wrestle with, because we get to verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Verse 31, and we're going to wrap it up. And men, this is another one. This word here, give her, isn't if you want to. It is a command. You shall give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Shine that light where it is so deserved. Do you know why? Because you could have a pig with a gold ring. I mean, that imagery going back to Proverbs chapter 11 of the ring in the snout that wallows in the mud. Is that what you want? No. You've been blessed with a godly woman? Then you need to praise her. Now, what are the lessons that we can learn from this? Number one, you define your work, not the other way around. Your work doesn't define you. So you think about this wife that is being described here who she supports her husband. She takes care of her family. She is teaching her children. She is working and selling things. She's considering business deals. Who she is shapes every single one of those things. It's not, I have this job, that defines who I am. No, it's who you are that defines the work. We live in a world where we are trapped with, I have to have this brand new toy. I have to have this expensive car. I need this position at work. I've got to have a house of this size in order for me to be me. That is not the case. Who we are determines all of those other things. Thus the name of this podcast, thus the name of the book, Defined by Moments. We have fallen into that trap and we're always chasing something that will never satisfy. This godly woman, this wonderful example that we see here in Proverbs chapter 31, she's not defined by all of these other things. She's defined by her relationship to wisdom and how she's rightly related with God. Then that affects everything else in her life. Number two, if someone deserves praise, shine a light on them. This is just great for your kids. If you see them do something good, let them know it. We are far too often those that will jump on our kids for not doing something right, but when they do something right, we're wrong because we don't tell them that. We need to make sure that if we see someone that deserves praise, we offer it. Because if you celebrate it, if you appreciate it, you will get more of it. As we wrap this up, I want to go back through this and stress that it's wisdom. It's that relation to wisdom that determines how we walk in the way. And friends, you define your work, not the other way around. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.